reading is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 9. This can be found on page 670 in the Pew Bibles. Everything is meaningless. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place that streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun.
Perhaps you're surprised this morning to find some of those words in the Bible. Perhaps you're very familiar with them. I myself have found great comfort in these words over years. In fact, they're some of my favourites in the scriptures, and I'll explain why in a moment. But the first thing to note, we have here the introduction of a teacher. Now, many of you won't know this, I used to be a secondary school teacher. That was my career before I started on the pathway towards ordination, the pathway to becoming a leader of a church within the Church of England. And I taught music, mostly. I also had to teach RE, ethics, personal development, etc., etc., as happens in a secondary school. But here's the thing. If I took this beginning as the basis for all of my pedagogy, that is, all of my teaching methods, I think someone would call into question how effective a teacher I was. If I set tasks for the children I taught that were in vain or meaningless, or, as some translate the word, absurdity, I would be asked, why am I doing that? And so we should ask, well, why is this teacher from Israel, from the ancient wisdom, saying all things, everything under the sun, meaningless, or vanity, or absurdity? I'm using these words as synonyms because there is a really huge challenge in how we translate that first word. You see, it's a word that really ought to mean vapour. You know those days where it's really cold in here, the heating's not worked, and we come and we sing, and we can see our breath in front of us? Or those days where you turn up at the school playground, and you see your breath in front of you. Have you ever tried grabbing that breath, and holding on to it? You'll find that you can't. It escapes. And so we try to find words that make sense of that. What is it like to hold on to something so fleeting? Of something that can't be done. It would be meaningless. It would be a vanity. It would be an absurdity. Now, to help demonstrate this a little bit, and here's my challenge. Seb, you need to pay attention now. Seb came with me earlier, and he has been constructing, as you can see. Now, he's been constructing for one purpose and one purpose only. Do you remember what it is? Then come and knock it over. Shall I knock it over? Do you want to knock it over? Come on. Come on. This is the bit he's very good at. Now, to an extent, what we do here is Seb is building for no real purpose other than his own enjoyment, or other than my own enjoyment. Now, here's my challenge for our youngsters as I unpack the rest of the passage in more detail. Seb, don't put it all away. Here's my challenge. If you would like to get involved, can you build a bridge out of Duplo that I can walk on?
told you it might be absurd. So if you'd like to get involved, Seb, you too, really, you can too. Anyone who would like to come and build a bridge out of Duplo and set themselves a challenge, can they build one that I can walk on? Please do get involved. The rest of us, if you've got the passage open in front of you, it will really help you. It's in the service sheets as well if you don't have it in a Bible. We've started to unpack what it is to be a teacher. We've started to look at a little bit of what it means to translate that first word. If anyone is interested, it's the word hevel in Hebrew, and it is tricky to translate. I will probably keep using the word absurdity because I quite like it. It speaks to my own enjoyment of absurd humour. Hey buddy, do you want to build a bridge with Sebi? Great. And the teacher here goes on to ask, well, what do people gain from chasing their absurdity, from all their toil, from all their hard work? What do they strive for? You get the sense that this teacher is a wise teacher who probably has been a king over Israel. And he looks back at his life and questions, well, what is it all for? What have I done? And what have the people I have looked after accomplished in this time? And he looks in verse 4 to the generations that have gone before him and the generations that will go after. And he unpacks that we are finite beings. We've all been born. We will live. And we'll all pass one day. The teacher knows this. And in that scope of then looking at the rest of the world, says, well, we come to pass and the world continues. What gain is my life's work really? And having done that, he starts to then look at the world around him. Well, the sun will always rise. It's going to go back to where it's set. Nothing is going to change that. Nothing is going to change the fact that the wind blows and goes round and round. It ceases. It starts. Nothing will change that. This will continue on and on, as it has done for the years to pass, for the generations that have gone before, and for the generations that will come afterwards. The world will continue. And the teacher finds himself dissatisfied that in the grand scheme of his many accomplishments, they probably count for very little when compared to the majesty of God's created world. And because of this, he really comes into question, well, can human beings ever be satisfied with all that is under the sun, with all that is temporary? We heard our verse of the month. That's the bottom, Marie. If you can build a bridge on that, that'd be great. We heard the verse of the month earlier, that God puts eternity into our hearts, that we will never truly be satisfied as people unless we come back into right relationship with God. This teacher questions, well, without that, is it all worth it? In his view, and this is again why I like the word absurdity, the cycle of life expresses the absurdity of life. Now this opening picks up or sets out many of the themes that are uncovered in the rest of the book. We don't have time to go through all 12 chapters in detail this morning, but I encourage you to read it all in one go. It's quite a ride. That teacher is setting the groundwork to really question, what is he looking for? And I must admit, there's nothing wrong with asking questions like this. Okay, pop it in the bin for me. Thank you. There's nothing wrong with asking questions like this. There's nothing wrong with questioning, well, what difference does my life make? Or what difference does my faith in God make? What difference do my prayers make? Because when we start to acknowledge if we're feeling like this or if we're thinking like this, we begin to see God at work in a fresh and new way. We trust in him to work within us. Thanks. Thanks, Riri. Pop it there. Thank you. We have to be honest in front of God, who knows all things on our hearts already, who has placed them there himself. They are part of our journey of building a faith in him rather than in our own understanding of him. We have a wise teacher who understands many, many, many great things and seeks to teach the people in front of him, who comes to these bizarre conclusions with these difficult questions and probes around the condition of our dissatisfaction as human beings. But God is there in the midst of that. Now, there's one difference from the teacher that we have today. I mentioned our own finiteness. Now, this teacher was born, this teacher lived, and this teacher passed away. And we know a greater teacher who was born, who lived, who died on a cross, but who rose again from death. I'm talking about our Saviour, Jesus Christ. I mentioned from that passage in Luke chapter 2 of the words he spoke on the cross that said to the person on one side of him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus is different to the teacher. Jesus encapsulates all of the hope and the unknown that is in our heart, placed there by God. You see, he knows fully what it is like to be a person walking and living on this earth, and he knows fully what it is like to have the mind and heart of God, to see all things under the sun from the heavenly perspective that we inquire of. And he bids us to come and follow him, to walk forward in a life of faith that is not based on our understanding entirely of who Jesus is, nor our understanding of who Jesus reveals God to be, but in a faith that trusts in him regardless of whether we feel like we get it, or whether we feel like we understand where God is leading us, or how he is leading us, or how we should worship him, or what it means to really be a Christian today. We're going to be picking up the end of Ecclesiastes, but we've got a moment to pause and to think and to check in with this bridge as well. I'm going to give them a bit longer. But as we sing this next song, I'd encourage you to ponder the lyrics, particularly of the first verse, to spend a moment praying and to think, well, what is my life built upon? Or where are the areas that I feel I don't understand this walk, but I want to walk it anyway? Thanks, Nicholas.
Please do take a seat, and Penny is going to bring us our second reading. Thank you.
Second reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 9 to 14. It can be found on page 679. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9 to 14. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil.
Consider, well, what is our faith built upon?
is it built upon our understanding of the Bible and our understanding of who God is only? Or is it accepting that our understanding is limited and our hearts desire more than we can fathom? Personally, I'm really glad for these words, because they remind me that what I think I understand about God is quite a limited view of who God really is and what he has really done. I will spend my entire life seeking him and who he is and his plan in so many different ways, particularly through the scriptures that we have. And I know that on the one hand, I will be greatly satisfied. I will be greatly enriched. And on the other hand, I will not be satisfied. I will always want more. One of the comparisons I can draw with this is at the moment I'm studying, every time I get a result back, even if it's good and I'm satisfied, I always think, well, what could I have done for more? And I find that is a really helpful way of looking at the journey of faith. What is my faith built upon? And where do I desire more? Knowledge of God, more understanding of God. Where do I desire places where I can just relax and say, I don't get this, God, but I trust you? Sometimes that can leave us in a really uncomfortable space. Verses 11 to 12 pick this out so wonderfully because of that sheep analogy. The nails firmly fixed. That doesn't fill me full of comfort, to be honest. I hate sagging my skin on nails. Those sharp bits of scripture that just prod and get you at just the right time to help you go the way of God and the way of discipleship. Okay, can you go to the loo, please, on your own, or go with me? Timing. The great thing is, the end of this points us to the one shepherd as well. These sayings are collected and are given by one shepherd. Shepherd in the Hebrew Bible, in the scriptures, is an image of a king coming as well as someone who looks after sheep. It's the analogy most commonly associated with kingship. And what we find in the New Testament when we hear the sayings of Jesus is he talks about being the good shepherd, John chapter 10. He talks about being that one shepherd for us. When we look and can't make sense of the sayings in this wonderful text, or what it means to be a Christian today, we're called to turn and look back to Jesus. And perhaps we'll look at that cross again and wonder, how do we make sense of that? And it draws us always back to that place of our own frailty and our need for faith in him. In the end of the matter, verse 13, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes shows us that even when we can't make sense of God, our faith in him, we can remain in awe of him and simply follow his commands. I still find it utterly odd that such a complicated biblical text that's hard to get our heads around ends with this short summary of fear God and keep his commandments. I feel like that's the sort of thing that we learn when we are much smaller. And yet, it's the summary of the life of the wise king. We don't need to understand every aspect of our scriptures or of who God is. These are good things, please do not mishear me. These are great and wonderful things. But when we find it hard, we need to remember our faith is not built on our understanding. Our faith is built on who God is. And he reveals himself in Jesus Christ. We are called to build our faith on God and God alone. Not our understanding, not our ideas of who he is. And if we're struggling to get that sense of who God is, we come back to Scripture day after day and week after week together. We come round this word so that we could continue to grow in understanding, but also so that we could grow in faith. Fantastic. Despite our understanding. Now, at the beginning of this, I asked if some of our youngsters could build a bridge that would hold me based out of Duplo. Now, we've got two here. I'm not sure that is a bridge, but it works. And here's the other one. Really, I brought you out. Ooh. It also works. Two bridges. The reason I've asked them to do that isn't because I'm looking for some great understanding of engineering and architecture to come together. It isn't because I think that they will learn loads about bridge building. Quite simply, they have listened to the words of a teacher and obeyed, and they've brought me great enjoyment through doing that. And I think they've had great enjoyment themselves. If you're one of our younger folk here, and you have not understood much of what I said, that's okay. Know this. Fear God and keep his commandments. That real simple understanding of what it means to be a Christian and to live a life of faith is that he takes great delight in you being obedient and following the scriptures and living that life, even if you don't understand why it is you do the things he asks. And to be honest, I think that's the case, not just when we're young, but as we get older and wiser, we realise that our faith is built on God alone. And so when we don't understand, we do the simple thing. We keep his commandments and we stand in awe of who he is. We fear God. We're going to sing a final hymn, and it is about all I once held dear and built my life upon.